Bienvenidos. Welcome to each of you to this gathering where we all have the same nationality as children and heirs to the kingdom of God. Somos todos hijos y hijas en el reino de Dios. We are grateful for God's love and mercy to all, no matter where we come from. Everyone is welcome to this place and to feel at home. Today, we are gathering to celebrate World Fellowship Sunday, a Sunday set aside by Mennonite World Conference to help us remember that we are part of the global body of Christ, and that within that body, we are part of the global communion of Mennonite World Conference. Hoy celebramos el Domingo de la Fraternidad Mundial del Congreso Mundial Mennonita con Mennonitas en todo el mundo. Somos parte del uno cuerpo de Cristo. We are coming together this morning from Prairie Street Mennonite Church and Fellowship of Hope. Both of our congregations are rooted here in South Central Elkhart and at the same time have deep global connections. Some of us have served as missionaries in other countries. Some of us have come here from another country to study or work or seek safety for ourselves and our loved ones. Some of us have been here all our lives. God has been at work in all our lives and has brought us here to worship together this morning. Dios está presente en todas nuestras vidas y Él nos guió hasta aquí esta mañana para alabar. Together with Mennonite churches around the world, we remember and pray today for migrants and refugees, especially from Latin America. The theme that Mennonite World Conference has chosen for this Sunday is Justice on the Journey. We will hear more about this from Ose later, but for now, let us remember, as Cesar Garcia has written to people in Mennonite World Conference mailing list last night, that God is inviting us to imitate him and her by preparing a table, not by building a wall. Our God is a God who loves the immigrant and the wanderer. Come walk with us this morning. Camina con nosotros esta mañana.
Number two in the green Sing the Journey, number two.
Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long.
Oh. Tamanati.
Tamanati.
Join me for the call to worship. We gather as pilgrims on a journey of faith. We come seeking the cloud of your presence as we travel the way. We come seeking your pillar of fire to light our darkness. Shine in our hearts, O God, with the light of your love. Make your presence known through Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please take the bulletin insert. We'll be singing both of these hymns next, starting with You Were Tortured. And we will sing verse 1 in English, then the Spanish verse, then 2 and 3 in English. Starting in English. And turn over to the kingdom of God.
please stand for a confession. This confession was written by a pastor from the Ibague Mennonite Church in Colombia, Luz Amanda Valencia, and it is one of the things that other Mennonites around the world will also be using for this Sunday. Okay. And it's taken from Luke 4, from Jesus' first sermon, and we are using a call and response, and we are also flipping from English to Spanish in between. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Forgive us, O Lord, for the times our actions have not been consistent with the message of good news to the most vulnerable. Apregona libertad a los cautivos. Perdónanos, Señor, si no hemos atendido al necesitado, al marginado, al aislado, por nuestra falta de amor y de compromiso con tu palabra. And recovery of sight to the blind. Forgive us, Lord, for the times our works have not been motivated by your love. A poner en libertad a los oprimidos. Perdónanos, Señor, si no hemos estado al lado de tu justicia y tu verdad con el exilado y el desterrado. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, help us, Lord, to put your word into action, taking the good news to all who suffer in a foreign land and right here among us. Y enrolado el libro, lo dio al ministro, y se sentó, y los ojos de todos en la sinagoga estaban fijos en él. Señor, nos comprometemos a que la predicación de tu palabra se haga real en nuestro diario vivir y se evidencie en nuestras acciones con los que sufren el desarraigo por la violencia y la injusticia social. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Lord, we commit to taking the good news to all who suffer in and loss of displacement. Hallelujah. Yours is the glory and honor forever and ever. Amen." Let us share the peace of Christ with each other.
Are there any other children here?
Mine are hiding upstairs.
Oh, okay. Well, if anyone's hiding, come on down. Okay, well, it's good to see at least the three of you here today. I'm going to ask you a little bit about what you know about migration. You know, sometimes when we think about migration, we think about birds that migrate, and butterflies. What happens in fall and winter, or just as we're getting into colder months, what happens? Okay, go ahead.
Most animals go down south.
Yeah, they go down south. Why do they go down south?
For the warmer weathers, for their survival.
For their survival, because it's warmer, yes. Ren?
And since fall, usually plants die, so the
Right. Yeah. So in winter, the animals who depend on the vegetation that they eat, and here in these colder parts of the world, it dies, and maybe they can't get what they need to eat, or insects, or whatever it is. They can't find them, so they go south to where it's warmer because for their survival, right? Well, we're going to talk today about people who migrate. And we talk about immigrants. We have immigrants in our society. We have refugees in our society. And why do you think they have come here from somewhere else? Why do you think they've come here from somewhere else? Go ahead.
War,
yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Religion, rights, and freedom.
Yes.
Maybe
not enough food. Maybe they, war, or maybe there's, all kinds of threats around them, and they can't live safely in their homeland. Go ahead.
I'm a Quaker.
Okay. So that's why they've left and come to a place where they've heard, they can be safe. They can have a job. They can work, earn money, and provide for their families like they need to. They can, they're away from, war really destroys life. Maybe where they've been living, the children haven't been able to go to school because the schools are closed because of war and terrible things happening in their country. And so they come in search of a better life. I want to ask, I'm going to ask the whole congregation, I want you to raise your hand if you're an immigrant or if you have had people in your history, in your like grandfathers, great-grandfathers, great-great-great-grandfathers who have been immigrants to this country. Oh my goodness, I have to raise my hand. Yeah. So, pretty much everybody, right? So somebody in our family at one time came to this country to have a better life, for whatever reason that was. In my family, it was because of our faith. They couldn't, the young men were conscripted, had made to go to military service, and they wanted to escape that, and so they came to the United States where they were not conscripted into military service. So there are all kinds of reasons why people leave places to go to places where they feel they will be safer and life will be better. Have you ever heard that Jesus and Mary and Joseph were refugees? Did you know that? Yeah, they were. And do you know why they were refugees? Because after Jesus was born, remember the three kings were looking to find him, and they went to Herod, King Herod, and they asked where they could find this baby. And that made him very worried because he was the king and he didn't want anyone else. They said they were looking for the new king that was born. That worried him. So he was going to look for baby Jesus. And that made Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, the angel told them to go to a different place where they would be safe. And so they followed what the angel said and they went to Egypt to escape the danger that was going to threaten Jesus. So, do you know that today there are 68.5 million people in our world who are displaced? They have left their countries because of one reason or another. So there are a lot of people who are looking for a place to live, a safe place, where they can have their needs met and live peacefully. I had a picture that I was going to bring along of some refugee children, and unfortunately I left it at home, so that's too bad. But refugee children look like any other children, okay? And they have the same needs as any other children, same needs as you have. They have need for food, they have a need for a school, they have the need for a family that cares for them, that all feel secure and at peace. And so that's why what all people who are immigrants or refugees, that's what they're looking for. They want just a peaceful life. You know, and what we find out today is that a lot of people in our society are upset about immigrants and refugees, and they don't want them coming here. And, you know, I think that if those people were in the positions of the other people, I think they would understand a little bit better. You know, God says that you should love the alien as yourself. And that is what's written in Leviticus in our Bible, and that's what Jose is going to be talking about this morning. So whenever we think about those other children, other families in our society that need a place to live, and we want to do what God tells us to do, we need to love those people and help them as well to feel at home here in this place. Okay, thank you for coming.
Cuando un extranjero resida con ustedes en su tierra, no lo oprimirán. Por naturalizar, ustedes consideran al extranjero que resida entre ustedes. Lo amarás como a ti mismo, porque extranjeros fueron ustedes en la tierra de Egipto. Yo, el Señor, su Dios.
Leviticus 19:33-34. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as a native born. Love them as you love yourself. For you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Si un étranger vient séjourner avec vous dans votre pays, vous ne l'opprimerez point. Vous traiterez l'étranger en séjour parmi vous comme un indigène du milieu de vous. Vous l'aimerez comme vous-même. Car vous avez été étranger dans le pays d'Égypte. Je suis l'Éternel, votre Dieu.
Entonces el rey dirá a los de su derecha, vengan, benditos de mi padre, hereden el reino que ha sido preparado para ustedes desde la fundación del mundo. Porque tuve hambre y me dieron de comer, tuve sed y me dieron de beber, fui forestero y me recibieron, estuve desnudo y me vistieron, enfermo y me visitaron, estuve a la cárcel y me vieron a mí.
Matthew 25:34-36. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of this world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.
Alors, le roi dira à ceux qui sont à sa droite, « Venez, vous qui êtes bénis de mon Père, prenez possession du royaume qui vous a été préparé dès la fondation du monde. Car j'ai eu faim et vous m'avez donné à manger. J'ai eu soif et vous m'avez donné à boire. J'étais étranger, vous m'avez recueilli. J'étais nu et vous m'avez vêtu. J'étais malade et vous m'avez rendu visite. J'étais en prison et vous êtes venu vers moi. »
Let us pray together for Jose. Creator God, thank you for your servant, Jose, as he has prepared your word. Holy Spirit, move through him to our two congregations, and Jesus, be the body of Christ in him through us all. Amen.
Amen.
Il n'est pas possible de se taire, pas du tout, Seigneur, pas du tout. L'exploitation de l'homme et par l'homme dure encore et se poursuit. Nos silences parfois nous trahissent. Il n'est pas possible de se taire. La sécurité de l'homme n'est plus. Elle n'est plus, Seigneur, elle n'est plus. Chacun est peine assurée à son hôte, car la justice n'est plus. Non, pas du tout, absolument non. Nos silences parfois nous trahissent. Il n'est pas possible de se taire. À toi, Dieu, nous cherchons un refuge. Il est temps, Seigneur, soutiens-nous, car les méchants qui dirigent ce monde veulent bien nous écraser. Non, pas du tout, absolument non. Nos silences parfois nous trahissent. Il n'est pas possible de se taire. Non, pas du tout, absolument non. Nos silences parfois nous trahissent. Il n'est pas possible de se taire.
Would you please play the preacher for 1 second? Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Where are you from? When was the last time you were asked that question, where are you from? A year ago? 3 months ago? You don't remember? Depending on who is asking that question and where you are, and how the conversation started before you get there, that question carries a lot of weight. Some of us are lucky enough that, you know, we get asked that question at least once a week or twice, depending on how many people you happen to encounter. And the thing with that question is that every time you get asked, where are you from, it's as if they were reminding you of the fact that you don't look like us, or you don't belong to here, or you don't speak like we do, or your last name doesn't look familiar. Long story short, you are being reminded that you are an immigrant. Yes, we are immigrants. Today is Anabaptist World Fellowship Sunday, and the theme, as many already told you, is Justice on a Journey, Migration, and the Anabaptist Mennonite story. There is no way we can talk about Anabaptist without talking about immigration. Anabaptists have a long history of immigration. If we have Anabaptists in North America today, in the United States, and in this room right now, it's all because of immigration. And Anabaptists value immigration for two reasons. The first being that they are themselves the product of immigration, as I said. They went from one place to the other, from there to another place, all because everywhere they landed, people didn't always welcome them. They were persecuted because of their theology, because of how they viewed the kingdom of God, because of their message of the citizenship. And being persecuted, they always chose to go from where they were to another place, on and on, and then they end, some end up where we are now. But the other reason that makes Anabaptists value this notion of immigration is that they believe in the Bible. And as you may know, throughout the entire Bible, God shows deep concern about three groups of people. God cares about widows. God cares about orphans. And God cares about strangers. Now, feel free to use whatever term you want, stranger, immigrants, aliens, foreigners, A lot of terms can be used, but the idea is we are talking about people who live among us but are not native born. Immigration is one of the hot topics in our society. We don't spend a day without talking about immigration. Politicians talk about immigration. Social workers talk about immigration. I myself am completing a degree in social work at Goshen College, so one of the topics I'm working on is immigration. Churches talk about immigration. Everybody talks about immigration. In fact, our nation right now is facing one of the longest partial government shutdown, all because the Congress is not willing to let the president to use our money to build a wall on our southern border. That is an immigration issue. And discussions have been going on and on between groups about this matter. One group thinks, well, we need a wall to protect ourselves against illegal immigration and drug trafficking. Another group thinks, well, we can fight against illegal immigration without necessarily building a wall. Now the question is, who is wrong and who is right? Maybe there's no answer at this point. In the meantime, we have victims of that situation, of that debate. Over 800,000 workers are going hungry, are unpaid right now because of that government shutdown. Now, who do we have to blame? I don't know. After his trip from Mexico, Pope Francis was asked what he thought about the wall. His answer was, a person who thinks only about building walls wherever those walls may be and not building bridges is not Christian. In other words, the Pope is saying, we need more bridges than a wall. And again, everybody comes with a definition of what that wall is. Some call it wall, fence, border, whatever it is. The Pope thinks we need more bridges than a concept of something that divides us. Now, let's go back to where we came from with Leviticus 19. The text that we just read on Leviticus 19 is not talking about people who are on the other side of the wall or the border or the fence working hard to come in. Leviticus is talking about people who made it in and who are already living with us. Those are the people that Leviticus 19 is talking about. Those people are your neighbors, my neighbors. Those people work with their co-workers. Their children go to school with your children, with your grandchildren. Those people are your friends. And those people are here among you. And one of them is talking to you right now. How do we treat them? That's the question that we have to answer. And the answer comes from Leviticus 19, verse 33 through 34. If I'm not wrong. Yes. God is giving directions about how we ought to treat those people. One day I was eating lunch with a friend on Benham. There was a subway by the seminary. So we were meeting there for lunch and eating and talking. And then there was a discussion. This other person, I don't know who they are, just a client, talking to somebody else whom just by the look you could tell that they don't belong to here. Some kind of religious thing they had on and things. And the first person was talking to this religious person, hey, this is America, you don't belong to here, why don't you go back home and things like that. I don't know how it started, but what I heard was, this is America, you don't belong to here, why don't you go back to your home? He kind of raised his voice. I told my friend that I felt kind of offended by that kind of speech and asked my friend if I could stand up and go punch that guy in the face. It doesn't sound like an Anabaptist, does it? My friend said, no, you can't do that. And he asked me, what do you think would Jesus do if he was here and things like this were happening? I told him, well, I don't know. I'm not Jesus. Maybe I cannot be like him right now. And sorry, I don't want to be like him. But, as an Anabaptist, and as I was preparing this message, I reminded myself of one thing. Here it is. I may not know everything about Anabaptists, but one thing I am sure about is that Anabaptists did not stand where there was injustice and them keeping quiet. They stood against every and each form of injustice. They spoke up. I'm not a TV person, which maybe keeps me from hearing a lot of things about what's happening. Every once in a while, you know, I get, you know, tweets and I read them and I know what's happening in the world. But in my TV, we don't really have channels. But somehow, one day as I was playing just with my TV, and it's a smart TV, by the way, I happened to see ABC News. And there was a program, a TV program on ABC called What Would You Do? And that program, they have actors, They gave them roles. Okay, well, you go and play like this, you do this and that. And that time, they did choose a woman who had a flat tire and trying to, you know, fix it. Some people were walking by, doing nothing, saying nothing. Some came to help. And then to the same woman, they gave a hijab. You know what a hijab is? It's, you know, some kind of Muslim, you know, dress, and she puts it on, and then, okay, well, there she was trying to do that. And not too many people came to help her. Until this other guy came and started by Assalamu alaikum. And she responded, oh, alaikum assalam. So you need help? And then he helped that lady. And then all the camera, you know, came and, you know, filming and saying, hey, you know what? This is not reality. We are just playing. But we are interested in, you know, getting to know, why did you feel that you had to do this, you had to help this woman? And he said, I know that just by the way she looks like, not too many people would like to help her. Now see, the same woman who looked just like some of us, some of you, did get help. But when she looked differently, not too many people stepped in to help her. What would you do? And going back to my text, my story about when I was in Subway, as an immigrant, I do expect to be bullied. I seriously expect that to happen anytime, every time. But when that happens, I will not be focusing on the person bullying me, but I'll be looking at those who are around and see what they would do or what they would say. Because it's easy for people to say, none of my business. I'm not saying a word. Just walk away, go home, and share the story and blame what happened on whomever. Do we step in to defend foreigners, strangers that live among us? What do you do when comes holiday? On holidays, what do you do? Do you only care about your family, whatever family means, just family? Do you ever wonder how are other immigrants that live among us, close to me, goes to my church with me, work with me? Do you ever wonder how are they spending those holidays? And if ever there is something that you can do. The media gives us a certain image of who those immigrants are. They come to steal our jobs. They ruin our economy. We don't have enough for ourselves. How come you want us to provide some for them? send them home, or just build a wall to keep them from coming in. Matthew 25 says, I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I like the other version I was looking at that says, you welcomed me in. They live among us. They need our support. They need our love. They need our care. One thing is to have signs saying, we support you, we do this, we do that. But the other thing is, what do you ever do when you witness any kind of injustice being made toward these immigrants? Would you act in a way that portrays love and care? If you will, praise God, God bless you. And if you will not, not me, but you are being judged by God himself, who says, those people who live among you, please do not mistreat them. Treat them with love and care, because you yourself were a stranger. And some people welcomed you and made you feel home. God bless you.
Blue folder number 58, The Wall is Down.
Let us pray together. Lord our God, we give thanks for Brother Ose and the word that he has preached to us. We pray that we can commit ourselves to action to the strangers in our midst. and so that strangers will no longer be strangers, but friends. We pray also for the countries of Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Mexico, Colombia, and Venezuela, from which the greatest number of people are trying to escape from violence or leaving in search of economic opportunity on this continent. And we also pray for the Congo, for Syria, Afghanistan, all other places that people are leaving. We pray for the countries that are receiving migrants from Latin America, countries like Brazil, Ecuador, Peru, Colombia, Mexico, the US and Canada. We pray for everyone on the move, those from one country to another, those who are homeless, and all of us, as we remember times when we ourselves were seeking shelter and safety. Join me as we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we, as an expression of our commitment, we are collecting an offering. And the offering today will go to Mennonite World Conference. Mennonite World Conference works to deepen relationships between member churches and to provide a space to reflect on our faith and practice in a global community. And it provides support for members in need, like in those countries that we just prayed for. And Mennonite World Conference has a really interesting way of thinking about how we can support us and how to account for the differences in the unjust distribution of wealth around the world. So they invite us to contribute the cost of one meal in our community. And so if we all do that around the world, we can support each other and all give equally, even as it might monetarily be different. And this is a way to account, as I said, for the unjust distribution of wealth, which wounds the body of Christ, and it's the first step toward healing this divide. It reminds us of how the Apostle Paul asked the church in Corinth to support their siblings in Christ in Jerusalem. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. So I ask the ushers to come forward.
Please turn in the green Sing the Journey to number 78, Sizahamba Naye.
Sizahamba Naye, whoa, 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 Sizahamba Naye. We will walk.
Mennonite World Conference is a communion of churches. We desire to structure our relationships in the way Jesus brings us together in love. On his last night with his friends, Jesus celebrated a Passover meal, the feast of his people celebrating how God had liberated them out of slavery and how they had migrated to the promised land. Like every year, they ate unleavened bread to remember the hastiness of their flight. But this year, something new was beginning. Jesus took the Passover meal, a celebration of Israel's liberation out of oppression, and transformed it to show a broader meaning. God's love knows no borders. All are welcome to the Lord's table. In his death and resurrection, Jesus has extended the table to include all of us. We are foreigners and strangers to God, but now are included in a new covenant with all of God's pilgrim people. In Christ, we are one body. From Congo to Mexico, from Canada to Indonesia, from Colombia to Germany, from the US to Australia, we are connected throughout the world through the love of Christ. In this new community, we are one in Christ, but our differences are not erased. Rather, our difference is a celebration of the creativity of our God. This communion, we taste the diversity of the Anabaptist communion worldwide. Shaped by mission and migration, we have bannock, a gluten-free and vegan bread of First Nations in this land. We have swebach, a Russian Mennonite tradition. We have sweet bread from Mexico, and we have French croissants. They will be stationed at the four corners of this church. If you'd like to stay seated, please indicate and the server will come to you. Let us pray to bless this meal. Jesus Christ, thank you for your birth, life, death, and resurrection. Bless this bread, the fruit of the land, and the work of your human hands. Bless this cup, the fruit of the vine, and the work of human hands. We do this in remembrance of you. Amen. So while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." If you desire to follow Jesus, come and be fed.
As you're able, you can join us and sing the journey number 8.
Joyfully we come together at the holy feast of God. Somos pueblo que camina por la senda del dolor. Acudamos jubilosos a la santa comunión. Acudamos jubilosos.
à la Sainte Communion. God has sent the invitation to the humble and the poor. Joyfully we come together at the holy feast of God. Joyfully we come together at the holy feast of God. Los oídos y la pobres invitados son de Dios. Acudan los jubilosos a la
Purple, sing the story, number 40. This will be a fun time. Number 40, and Purple, sing the story, number 40. Blue folder number 88, The Peace of the Earth. We will sing English, Spanish, then English. Those who are able, please stand.